Save It for the Blind is sponsored by Kershaw Knives. Kershaw manufactures next-level pocket knives for outdoor enthusiasts. Save It for the Blind is now also being sponsored by Roseville Motorsports. Roseville Motorsports is the greater Sacramento area's premier destination for all your power sports vehicle needs. Stop in today to browse off-road vehicles from leading manufacturers like Polaris, Yamaha, and more. If you guys are enjoying the show, we'd love to hear from you and get your support. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a 5-star rating. Your reviews really help us grow and reach more people. Thank you for being a part of our community.
What are you guys doing right now?
We went for a Pukeko hunt, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of like walking along a creek and stuff. But yeah, we just spotted a beautiful axis deer buck. Of course, no rifle.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, good set of antlers on it.
You're just like on somebody's ranch?
Yeah, so it's crazy. Like, it's just dairies essentially all over the place. In our area, there's some sheep ranches too, but a lot of it's dairy cows. And it's like really, really, really hilly. And they've kind of cleared all the trees and then they plant it in the pasture. Even like the really hilly stuff, they have a tractor that can comb it. Basically like rototills the dirt up and then plants a grass seed as well at the same time. Pretty wild. Yeah, they have like these big tires that they don't bolt on, but they put on and like turn them a certain way and it locks them in. So it doesn't tip over the mountain. Right. Yeah. So if you can just think of like really, really, really thick pine forest that they log, and a lot of that stuff's converting back into dairy pasture. But I could see why a lot of people don't necessarily big game hunt a lot, because the what they'd call the bush, it's so thick you couldn't ever see an animal unless you like. Apparently, like some of the guys used to do it, like you're looking for little openings, like where red deer get some sun in their face or something like that. But yeah, it's pretty wild. Like apparently way back in the day, they just, like even like going back to Maori days, like they just lit fires and let the bush burn. But a lot of pine trees here, they're non-native and they all,
gotcha.
They're super fast growing.
Yeah. I was going to wonder about them wondering if they needed them to come back, but if they're non-native, they don't need that. But
no.
Yeah. So welcome back to another episode of Save for the Blind. If the voice on the other end of the line sounds familiar, that's because our co-host Jeff Smith is currently on this call in New Zealand. You can't see, but I can see he is sitting on a hillside somewhere in New Zealand, and he's going to be talking about his first, what are we, first week in New Zealand, and he's got a week to go, and some of the experiences that he's had. He sent me some pictures, and they've been nothing short of spectacular. So kind of want to start off with the flight. You've never been on a flight that long. How was it?
You know what? It wasn't bad. So we left San Francisco at 10 p.m. Friday evening, and we got to New Zealand Sunday at 7 a.m. Of course, there's some time changes in there, but it was like a 13 plus hour flight. I don't know. It was weird because like it was dark the entire time, even when we landed.
Yeah.
So it went quick. I mean, I watched a couple movies and started the series Dune on HBO, and it went really quick. I think I fell asleep briefly, but pretty much was awake the whole time. Yeah, and then we literally landed 7 a.m. Jeff Hay picked us up, who was out here last year. And we went straight to his house, and we were out in what they call blind, his Mai Mai, at 10 a.m.
Oh, that's a while. that's a quick transition.
Yeah, and we literally like got set up in the blind, like literally like he's still setting stuff up. And we shoot a black swan, and then a single mallard comes in when we harvested that. And then it was kind of like a rain, like it had rained during the night.
Yeah.
And then it was trying to rain that afternoon. But it was a north wind, right? And that's their hot, muggy, rainy days.
Oh, interesting.
So it was like, yeah, it was trying to rain and it did. And it was so hot and muggy. Like I had my Delta wading jacket on and like a long sleeve shirt, and you were like sweating under that. And I was like, man, I overpacked for this trip. And then the very next day, it was really cold. So it was like, I guess you could compare it to like hunting in October, you know, kind of in the Northeast zone where it's like, it could be really hot or really cold.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that. And then we were with Jeff Hay for 2 days.
On that hunt, you shot multiple black swans. Is that something that's common, or was that kind of out of the ordinary for?
Yeah, it's not like super common, but it's not uncommon. Like the zone that we're in now down towards Gisborne, you can't shoot any black swans at all.
Interesting.
But where we were at, you could shoot two a person. So yeah, the first day we limited out on our black swans, and we shot the New Zealand shoveler that looks like a hybrid of a blue wing teal and a spoonie, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that was super rare.
Oh, wow.
And we shot three of those. They came in and just came right in. We shot them. And what else we shoot that day? So we shot gray ducks that day, what they'd call their gray lard, which is a mallard and a gray duck that had been, is a hybrid, which actually breeds though. And then our mallard, which most of the mallards would look like early plumed R mallards, but they're like adults.
Interesting.
So like, yeah, so we shot a couple, like what they would call like a perfectly nice mallard, but they're much smaller than ours. Some of them have the ring around their neck, the white, but a lot of them don't. But I mean, out of all the ducks we've shot, we've probably shot like four or five that would be similar plumage to our mallards.
Gotcha.
All the rest are, you know, like these hybrids and weird colors. And yeah, it's like your decoys. If I was here, like all those like early season mallards that you see that people can buy like from Bandit or whoever, yeah. Like most of the ducks kind of look like that for the most part. But they're definitely, that game farm mallard. And it makes sense now that you've hunted them, is like you walk on, you watch them on a pond or something, you know, and they're more kind of upright ish, you know, and they're very flighty / athletic. We're like, our mallards will circle a couple times and they get that pass where like, you know, they're kind of hovering down.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, they just fly around just like with no rhyme or reason. And we actually had to hit the calls pretty hard. So this is like their second or third week into the season. They only have a couple more weeks to go on this area. So they've been hunted, but like I was talking to my brother, I was like, I really thought that they would be super, super responsive to calls, which they are, but they're not, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it,
but when they come in, do they work well?
Well, it's just so fast. Like they'll be like, when they go away, they'll just like go away randomly and not like really following a hen. Like they act like they don't know where to go, and they'll go out like 400 or 500 yards, and then they'll just like kind of come back. And then they look, and then they'll just like go out again. And then when they come, they just come, and they just come straight in. Not necessarily like super gracefully either. Like it's crazy. They come in. But the coolest part of the first day hunt is like, the swans, and I should have researched this because, you know, I like to call stuff in.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a low end of a spec mixed with like a honker or something. Mm-hmm. So I tuned my spec call to sound somewhat like it. And there was three that were like pretty far away going away with us, away to us. And I kind of hit them with a couple notes. And they, not like our swans where they like take a huge bang. They like turned right away and like came right in us, to us. Feet down, whiffling into the small pond, necks all crinked up. It was awesome. That part of the hunt was super cool. And then, yeah, so we shot limits that first day and literally shot all of the ducks that you could legally harvest, which is pretty rare. And we actually just found out on that hunt, we had lost a bird because the stuff is so thick. Like even when we had a dog and Jeff Hay went and found it the next day because he saw a hawk where we were hunting and it was banded and it was banded like on the other side of the island, which is super, super, super rare. And then I shot a band 2 days later, which is also super rare. So like you're talking in, you know, guys from New Zealand, they're like, I haven't shot a band in ever, or I haven't shot a band in 8 years. So, you know, the running joke in our family is like, of course, Jeff would shoot a band.
Seriously. Yeah. We'll get to that part. So first day you had the swans and some other ducks. What was the second day?
The second day we went back out to Jeff's Mai-Mai. And
describe what a Mai-Mai is for like folks.
It's just a blind. I mean, I would consider,
but it's
like
not a pit blind.
No, you cannot shoot out of a pit blind. It's got to be a couple feet out of the ground, which is also weird because you could use electronic calls here. You could bait ducks if you wanted to. I think there's one zone where you can't, and that's where Jeff lives. But all the other zones, like, there's different rules and regulations, but like it's very, very different from what we're used to. Like you could use the electronic calls, and it is a set time every day. So 6:30 to 6:15. And
no matter how dark.
No, and it is dark. Like we were done the one day, but we're walking out and it was like, you know, 5 to 6. It's pitch dark. We're like, How do you even hunt, you know, to them, like having a new shoot time every day, it would be like, wow, what a pain. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was that part of it was pretty interesting. Super, super dark, but you're shooting small ponds. So kind of go back to like hunting in Alturas and those areas where you're shooting really small cattle ponds, but they're like way smaller. Like, so we shot with Jeff for 2 days in his Mai-Mai. So, back to a Mai-Mai, you know, like in the southern, you know, I'm going to say like Arkansas and those places where they have, you know, a big stand-up blind and there's benches in it and a cook station and, you know, a shooting deck with a roof and, a bunch of vegetation coming over. You know, all the blinds we hunted with Jeff were like, just like here, right? They're phenomenally brushed and they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So we hunted with Jeff. That next day, we shot a couple ducks. There wasn't a whole lot going on. And then we went basically on a big game hunt and ended up shooting some wild pigs on this ranch that was like 10,000 acres. And also, which is weird about that is, you know, I shot my pig in the daytime, but you could use thermals. So, like, it's a thermal scope on the gun with a silencer. So it was a 300 Win mag, and it kicked like nothing.
Yeah.
And maybe you could see like in the thermal scope, you could see everything and twitching its ears. It records your shot as well, like a shot cam.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So then we shot mine. And then we literally went over the next ridge and we saw a group of pigs that ended up winding us. And we like literally got back in the truck. We're like, oh, there's some more on that ridge. And then Colby went up and shot one. And that was within the first 2 days. And then we went back to that same ranch and a guy had a little pond and we shot mallards and perries and, you know, this tight little pond. So we're shooting like low base, like sixes or something like that.
Lead.
Yeah. No, that was all on. You can only shoot lead over a field.
Gotcha. Our hunt program is still accepting applications for spring hunts. Visit calwaterfowl.org to apply today. While you're there, don't miss our membership deal. Purchase a membership and receive a free Realtree sweatshirt while supplies last. You can also apply for hunts, purchase tickets for upcoming events, and show your support for waterfowl conservation. Upcoming events are Jack Waliba Memorial Day at the Track in Arcadia, California, May 31st. Robert's Island Banquet in Stockton, June 4th. Rodeo Crockett Banquet in Crockett, June 5th. And Suisun Marsh Field Day at CWA's Grizzly Ranch, June 7th. Suisun Marsh Field Day will be a fun-filled day that includes youth duck calling, shooting, duck banding, over 20 vendors, a raffle, and much more.
The pre-sale for steak lunches ends on May 30th, so please purchase them on the CWA website now. Cost is $40.
So yeah, it was pretty interesting. And then we went down to Rokarua, I believe it's called. And we shot Harry's in the afternoon at like two. So Paradise Shell Ducks, they all call them Perry's. We hunted earlier that morning in a wetland next to the coast, and we shot, I think, 8 or 9 mallards. That's where we shot the banded mallard. Mm-hmm. We shot a couple Paradise Shell Ducks. Then went home, ate lunch, and we went out to, you know, they called their fields paddocks. So this paddock with, it was a dairy farm, like up on top of this old volcanic ridge, beautiful, beautiful country. Everywhere is green. It's just green grass everywhere. So there was these rolling green hills, and up above it was, I forget what they call their, they call them affluent ponds, which is basically their cow wastewater ponds. Yeah. So we set up in this field, and they literally parked the trucks, and I think we already had like 8 or 9 Perry's down by the time that our guests started walking up to the field. and the Perry's are like, if you look at the meat, they're grass eating, most of them. So it's like an Aleutian type smell, you know, on the meat, but it's like a mallard. It's bigger than a mallard, but it's more like a goose, but it looks like a duck. And they make a bunch of crazy, like barnacle sounded noises. And they come in like, I've never seen anything really work like that. They come from way, way, way up. No circling. It's just straight down, really in layout lines. And like all of our shots were like 10, 15 yards, like literally way too close. And we're using like silhouettes that were used, you know, made 40 years ago.
I was going to say if they have like full bodies or anything.
I think some people do, but yeah, this is all stuff that, you know, people made with their dads and stuff, but we're like using regular layout blinds, like what we use, really, really well brushed with grass and all that stuff. And, that was probably one of the funner hunts just because you could see them way out there, and we're, you know, they gave us a couple calls. So we're calling, and they just lock up and just come straight down, and they start whiffling and stuff like that. That was pretty wild and neat. And then the very next day we shot a pond. It's called, you know, they call it the moss pond. It's small. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's probably 10, 15 yards by maybe 20 yards. Oh, and it's like in the crest of a couple little tiny hills, and with some big, you know, some trees around and a big rock formation. And those ducks were way too close. It's stuff like you should be shooting a 410 with.
Yeah.
You know, and those ducks, I mean, they would circle around the mountain. Those ones worked a little bit differently. And then they'd just come straight down, you know, kind of like, you know, like a timber spot, you know. But I mean, they were so close. Like you had to like shoot them coming down, or like try to let them get up and shoot, because they were way too close. Yeah. And we're shooting all in proof cylinder, you know. And that hunt we shot, I think, 6s or 7s, but
that's crazy.
So yeah, I think Colby and I shot our limits there. And then we went
what's the limit? Down to Gizcorn. Like, is it 10 or
I thought there was 6 for mallards. Mm-hmm. Where we're at Jeff's, I think it was 8. And like where we're at now, I think you could shoot 6, but no swans. And then we're going to the South Island on Sunday.
Okay, so you're still on the same island. Right. You haven't even left the North Island yet.
No. Yeah. So down there, it's like in places, it's 15 to like 25, you know, in different areas. And that's where apparently all the ducks are. So when people are like, where else are you guys going? We're like, oh, the South Island. That would be like our Sacramento Valley-ish.
They're right? Like, oh, you're going to see all the birds, you know, like.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, I compare it a lot to the Northeast, because like, you just don't see a lot of birds, but then you'll go to a cattle pond and there might be 50 over there. But the Perry's, like, they'll just be like 2 sitting on a fence post, like close to town. And those are the older birds, the breeding ones. And then there'll just be 2 over here in a paddock and whatnot. But Yeah, and then we went to another ranch super high up in the high country. Again, another 10,000 plus acres, and we went deer hunting, and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scenery. Great hosts. You know, they call their ranches stations. So that station that we hunted, we basically went up to this top where they didn't clear all of the forest up at this ridge. Basically, they hunt deer too, and they eat it. They shoot a deer every couple of weeks.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so we got up there and we're like, oh, there's like wild goats running around.
Interesting.
And they take the cattle dogs up there and like we'll round them all up once a year and then take them to market and sell them. Huh. Yeah, but like little goats everywhere. And so anyways, we get up on this ridge and don't see anything. And then we go to the next ridge and we're like, oh, there's two fallow deer. And oh, there's two red deer, which is a red stag. And there's some axis deer over there. And the red deer are kind of on a place where we can get to and them not see us. And so Colby and I went down and I literally just, we went up this finger ridge and I popped over the ridge on my belly and they were out like 50 yards.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So put it right behind the shoulder and just one shot, one kill real quick. And then we gutted it, did all that stuff and went back to the ranch and put it in a chili box. And nice. Yeah,
that's wild. And today you're walking a creek chasing something that resembles our coot.
Yeah. Yeah. They call them pukekos and they're wild because they have like this big shield on the top of their head, but no one likes them because they like the big hay bales for silage and all that. They like rip all that stuff up. They eat ducklings and they about eat everything, but they're like a little pack where they like, they hunt as a pack and you'll see them like hunting down a slough or creek or whatever. But yeah, it's like a coot, but bigger and more aggressive. Obviously. So yeah.
Do you just flush them or you shoot them on the water or has it yeah, work?
If you can flush them, you can't really get close to them. So you really have to like, kind of like pheasant hunting, but they could see you. Right. So
that's strange.
Yeah, and we shot a couple earlier with Jeff, and we're going hunting for paradise shell ducks this afternoon. So they've been kind of just like us, you know, they scout some fields, they leave, don't know where they're going, you know, talk to everyone else in town. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right now is just there was a bunch here, and then they left for some reason. They're not in the cornfields, but they're starting to go back into one of the fields they've been looking at yesterday afternoon. So we're going to go do that. In about 2 hours. Yeah.
Oh, nice. What's been your favorite part so far for the first half?
Hunting wise, I think the shell ducks, just cause you know, it's like goose hunting, but I mean, they just work so well and they decoy so great. But no, I mean, other than meeting all the people and hearing their stories and, you know, their lifestyle and they're asking us the same questions and learning all about their family. That part's been awesome. Scenery is beautiful. The bush is the bush, but other than that, it's just, you know, miles and miles of on end of just, you know, rolling hills and dairy towns, you know, it's kind of like small town America, but, where their small towns are still, you know, pretty much thriving for the most part. Mm-hmm. And you know, for what we've seen is like everyone takes care of their lawns, very clean, but again, there's only, you know, 6 million people. And, you know, it's about the same size as California between the North Island and the South Island. So yeah. Imagine California with 6 million people on it. It's kind of back, you know, back in the day like that. So
has there been anything that surprised you, like culture wise or driving rules, laws that you had no clue about or hunting rules?
Well,
or
the driving. So the driving on the different sides of the roads. Right. But I mean, like everyone has a, what do they call it? Utes. And they're like, their bigger trucks would be like a Ford Ranger. But like the very first day we're there, we're getting a pie at a cafe, which is a big thing, right? Which they're delicious. And Jeff's like, hey, don't get hit by a car, like jokingly. And I literally almost got hit by a car-ish because I was looking the wrong way for oncoming traffic. So I was crossing the road looking right, you know, for a car. And coming left, and like literally someone stopped in the road. He's like, see, I was like, we were laughing. I was like, yeah, I mean, literally that one's been hard. Still haven't got used to that. Like, especially on corners, when you see a car coming, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
No, I mean, other than that, I mean, the beer here has less alcohol in it, which I found interesting. Yeah. Culturally, you know, lots of stews and things like that. Tea is, you could either have tea or coffee, but not coffee like ours. It's all instant tea, instant coffee.
Mm.
So you pour in hot water and shake it up. So it doesn't have a ton of taste. Every meal we've had, there's been a dessert, you know?
It's always good.
So, yeah. But I had some scrumpets and what else we have? Bunch of stuff that, you know, we never see in the States and types of drinks and all that. Well, it's funny because, like, you go into a gas station, there was Sour Patch Kids, and it looks like our branding is, you know, from the same company, but the kids are different. They don't look like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like a little bit different stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of Coca-Cola products. Yeah. But,
yeah,
you know, it's just different. You just know that you're not in the US, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, you know, how the world works. We talked about it. It's like you traveled, kind of just went through one night, and then all of a sudden you're in a place where you could hunt ducks in the winter. And now I'm sitting here in California talking to you, and you're a day ahead of me, or a day behind me, day ahead of me. It's just, it's strange.
It's Saturday.
Yes, you're day ahead.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't even had that time happen yet.
I know. So that part's pretty nuts. Just trying to think what else. I mean, the first couple hosts we have, I mean, they're like you and I. They're diehard duck hunters. They like their blinds brush, their gear, their duck call collectors, all of that stuff. I would say just like in the US, you know, that's 10% of the hunters. The rest are, you know, shooters or people that, you know, don't hunt a lot. But they are super hardcore. Hunt just like us. And hey, I put my mojo here because of this and Y and X, Y, and Z. We're gonna set the decoys over here. So that part of it's been cool. But there's no migration here. It's just the birds that are here and they move a little bit but for the most part, they're just local birds all the time. They don't really migrate or go to the next valley. Like the bird Colbyshaw, it was so rare because it did fly a very, very long ways and it was banded 3 years ago.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, like a Haydel. So we're at a sporting goods store, like a Haydel's DR85.
Yeah.
Right? It's like $100
here. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You could have brought a whole duffel bag full, pawned them off for $20.
I know. So, like, even, you know, we went to a sporting goods store today and G&H has their shoveler from this country, but for two decoys. Was $65 or something.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, even with the exchange rate, it's expensive, right?
Yeah.
So,
gives you hard, new appreciation for what we spend.
I know. It's all this stuff's very expensive over here.
It's got to get there somehow. Just cost money to get there.
Yeah. But I mean, like, there's a lot of shotgun shells that we've never heard of. Like, Winchester Experts are new here. You know,
interesting.
Yeah, so it's just different. We did go to a what they would have like a waterfowlers museum, and it's just a guy. His name's Tim. I think he's world renowned, like sporting good or sport shooting coach, and he's got this huge barn filled of shotgun shells, calls, stuff all around the world, and hand decoys from here. Just awesome stuff. Like apparently he's been offered like 7 figures for it and turned it down. You know, it's just, it'd be like someone's super nice, huge collection in the States. So it was neat to see that. There was a decoy from 1915, believe this, has a jerk cord on it. It like splashes water and the wings rotated, but you would. And there's only two that they know of. And he has one of them. And we met the other guy that has the other one. But you would shoot a duck and you would cut the wing off and you'd put the wing on the rod and it would like turn when you would pull it. Huh. And that's kind of what we're laughing at. I was like, all this stuff is not new. Like, yeah. People have been doing that. There was a Thule seat someone made out of like cane and like some weaving, you know, that was probably 100 years old in there, you know? So it's just kind of interesting. People are resourceful, you know, but it's all that waterfowler is kind of that same mentality, same everything, right? Yeah. It's like, just like in the States, you know, but a lot of their history wasn't saved. And so they're a little bit behind on that, where I think we have more people that were interested in the calls. Like, he's getting a lot of people like, hey, this was my grandpa's stuff. Do you want it for free, essentially? And it's like all, you know, one-on-one stuff, or this, my grandpa made these with this guy. But yeah, that part was pretty cool. Can't really think of anything else at this point, but yeah, we are going to the South Island. Which,
yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm not going to hold you much longer, 'cause I know you got to hunt, but what is the thing that you're most looking forward to in this next week, that the last week that you have? I know you probably got some cool stuff lined up.
Yeah, so we're going to chase Perry's again. They're going to try to do a Canada goose hunt. But I think the scenery, because that's more, it's colder there. There's snow in the peaks. You're in these big valleys. You know, it's not necessarily like dairy land and trees, which obviously there is there. But it's more like you might be shooting a pond and there's a huge mountain range in the background with snow on it, more rivers, things like that. So more water in general. So definitely looking for that, yeah. But
any other big game hunts?
As of right now, no. But they've gotten a lot of rain on the South Island. So a lot of the areas that they usually hunt, I think, are a little flooded. So it's kind of TBD right now in terms of, you know, what the game plan is. It's kind of been changing day by day for now. But yeah, definitely excited to do that. And, you know, if duck hunting's slow or whatever, I'll talk to the other hosts of, you know, we're all about if we can do a day or two and get after it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So. Well, I won't hold you any longer. I know when you get back, we're going to have a part two to this where we can dive a little bit more in depth about your trip in the second half. So I appreciate you getting on the phone all the way across the world. And we will see you back here in a week.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Obviously miss home, miss the kids and everyone. And hopefully I got some stories to tell in our next episode.
All right. Sounds good. We'll shoot straight today.
Thanks, man.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Save It for the Blind podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.